few more minutes, peek outside, and then if nobody's coming in, we'll get started. All right, we'll call the meeting to order. And first item is devotions.
So we'll begin the meeting with the litany that's found in the front of your annual report there. It's got Bishop Eaton's face next to it. See it? And Julie and I think that we won't sing the hymn today, so we'll just do the litany and the reading for today. So the reading comes from 1 Corinthians. Think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. Blessed be the Holy Trinity. One God, the fountain of living waters, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation.
Amen.
As servants of Christ, we plant and support new congregations each year. We enable congregations to renew their ministries. We work with ethnic ministries to develop resources and networks for ministry. And we share resources for God's work. Together
we are partners in ministry.
As partners in ministry, we support the Lutheran World Federation Global Communion of Churches with more than 80 companion churches in their countries.
Together, we accompany others in doing God's work.
As people who accompany others, we send more than 200 missionaries to more than 40 countries, training leaders and evangelists who will expand ministries.
Together, we equip people to be disciples, evangelists, and stewards.
As disciples, we equip God's people across this country to be current and future leaders through our colleges, universities, seminaries, and lay ministry schools. We especially support and pray for our more than 9,000 rostered leaders.
Together, we are members in the body of Christ.
As members in the body of Christ, we support congregations and synods with resources to assist in asset-based thinking, planning, operating manners, and risk management.
Together, we are stewards of God's gifts.
As stewards, we engage in culture and the world to work for justice. This includes engaging in lively conversation about current social, political, environmental, and public issues.
Together, we are advocates of God's work for the sake of the world.
As advocates, we facilitate dialogue and common action among communities of other faiths, seeking unity in the faith and life with all Lutherans and our six full communion partners.
Together, we are the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America,
a church that shares a living, daring confidence in God's grace. And let us pray. As we are servants in Christ, partners in ministry, people who accompany others, disciples, members in the body of Christ, stewards and advocates, our faith comes through the good news of Jesus Christ and gives us freedom and the courage to wonder, discover, and boldly participate in what God is up to in the world. May the Holy Spirit continue to guide us and give us strength to always do God's work for the sake of the world.
Amen. Thank you. Next item is approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes or additions? Lois?
Yes. And I'm just going to read the letter. We'd like to add an item to the agenda under old business. And this is in response to the following two statements that were included in the letter earlier in January from the council. Quote, it's time for all members to come together to discuss what they would like our Lord's church to look like in the near future and to make prayerful decisions while we have the resources to keep the doors open. In the second paragraph, quote, it is essential that you attend the meeting on Sunday because this may well be one of the most important meetings held. We need your input as all of us begin the journey to make our church viable for the future. And we didn't see anything on the agenda addressing this, so we'd like to place under old business discussion of future. to the agenda.
Discussion of future. Okay.
Right.
All right, there's an item on here that I would like to change a little bit. Under new business, number 5, ministry review, I would like to move that up in front of the 2017 financial budget explanation and discussion vote. So I'm just going to change number 5 to number 3, number 3 to number 4, and number 4 to number 5. And are there any other? Scott.
Just a point of clarification. Do we have to vote on the representatives for the endowment fund committee as a congregation? I noticed we did have that on there. We have in the past, but I can't remember if we changed it or the council votes on those or not.
I'm not certain.
We always had to vote on one, but
I'm not certain.
I believe the Constitution says that I'm appointed by the council.
Thank you. Well, that's being looked up. Are there any other items that need to be added or changed on the agenda? Business, we will discuss and vote.
No, we don't need to.
Oh, we don't.
It's done by the council.
Gotcha. By the council. So we're okay. Thanks, Scott. All right. Would anybody care to make a motion that we approve the agenda as modified? Okay.
And
second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Leslie, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. The next item is approval of the 2016 annual meeting minutes.
You mean all these? Oh, last year's.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Still in 16.
That's
everybody.
Okay. Okay, we've got a motion to approve the prior annual meeting minutes.
I'll second it.
And a second by Lois. Approved. Okay. Got a motion to approve the 2016 annual meeting minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Pastor's report.
So my report is in the annual report, so hopefully you had a chance to read through it. My theme for this year is 500 years of Reformation, and I will apologize for crying through the service this morning. The Beatitudes always make me cry anyway, but this year is a year for us to do some reforming as well, time for us to really rethink of where we're going, what the future will look like. So I've kind of set it forth as being a year of reformation for us as well. And I don't think we can go forward doing anything until we're in prayer. And so I am hereby calling everybody here, and as well as the rest of the congregation, into a period of prayer. At least for the coming month, if not longer, hopefully longer. We should always be in prayer, of course, especially as we're discerning our future. But today I call us into prayer. And so I have a copy of morning prayer, and I ask that everybody here be in prayer. We have some analyzing and thinking to do. We can't really make any rash decisions today or anything, but this year we're going to have to be thinking and discerning, and that's really the key, is discernment. As we talked about this morning, what seems foolish to us is God's wisdom. And so we're totally dependent on God. This is God's church. We are doing God's work. So we're dependent on God. So I call us into prayer. So I'm going to hand out a morning prayer to everybody. If you're not a morning person, you can pray at any time whenever you're awake. I like morning prayer because it really focuses us on being God's church and seeking God's will. And so one of the prayer petitions in here will be specifically to pray for St. Luke's. We have to start in prayer, and then we'll go from there. As it says in the book of Acts, as the Holy Spirit sent the disciples out to take the church across the world, it seemed good not just to them, but also to the Holy Spirit. And so that's really what we're looking for, is where is the Holy Spirit calling us? Where is God leading us? Yeah, there you go. Oh, and I have a large print one too. There's a large print one. Extra? Okay, cool. And so if you have this book that has the devotionals for the year, you might plug this in right as you're doing your devotional. Use this for the reading. If you're using the other devotional, you can just stick that right in there. You'll notice there's a part where it has readings for the day. So I invite you into that and ask you to spend the time in prayer. And as we go through this year, there will, as we're coming up here, we will do some, we'll be doing discussions. We'll be doing forums. We'll be doing things to help us really discern God's call for us. So that's my report. Thank
you. Next item on the agenda is the treasurer's report. And I'm sure you've all had a chance to look at it. This is something that we've really gone through prayerfully and tried to come up with the best budget we possibly could, keeping in mind those things that can be cut back and those things that that we need to have. It was very difficult. Are there any questions or comments? Or do you want to say anything?
No, I was going to say, I don't have much of a voice, so I have to be glad to answer questions, but I'm going to let the remarks in the report stand, and we can discuss it.
Carl.
I'm very concerned. I don't know how many. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out what's going on. We have to bring in, with your budget, close to $2,000 a Sunday. Now, with the handful that was in church today, there was 25 of us. How are we going to do that?
I don't know. That's what we need to figure out.
There's a limit to how many some of us can give. We're in a low-income bracket, several of us. Now, something's got to happen. And I look at this report, wherever it is.
Page 22.
Statistics report.
Oh.
Of course, on page 6, 000. No. Never mind. But anyway, I'm concerned. We've got to do something.
We do, and the council has discussed that at great length. What we're coming up with is that we need to find ways to bring in more funding, more resources. We've done what we can with the budget as far as cutting back what what we can. This is also why it's presented to everybody, so that you can comment and make suggestions.
Jim?
Yes.
I have noticed over the last years that there are a lot of people, I mean a lot of our congregation is leaving our church. Why? Are these people being visited and finding out what the reason is that they're going to find to be fed someplace else?
I'm looking at the statistical report that Carl just brought up, and members received, members removed. There's a couple due to death, a couple due to transfer.
I don't mean just in the last year. I mean in the last several years.
But
I mean,
the thing is,
there's the Bruces, and there's Judith, and there is the Shirees, and there is the, the Newcombs, and Dude and Bonnie, and Penny and Gerald, and that's seven people, seven families there. Now, why are they leaving? There must be a reason.
The church is not going anyplace. It's we're great people type church. You know that they're the ones that are growing. You know. They seem to want a looser church than what we have.
I don't know. I don't think that we're that tight.
I know
of a church.
Well, there were maybe two couples that went over to the Prince of Peace, or maybe more.
Yeah, like Golden.
Yeah, Mary Golden is big.
But
they went to
it's not just a handful that are leaving. And why?
That I don't know.
Should we be asking them, why are you leaving?
Well, I did talk to one family, and they said they went away because they had disagreements with other congregational members. That was one family that went on to Wesley. I don't know about the university. They've been gradually going off as, I don't know, it's different programs that they have over there that they want, or like Laura said, maybe it's just not as structured as ours, as far as our
church. Well, I don't know, but I think that when people leave the church, I don't think that we should just forget about them. We should be finding out what's... I've talked to some of them, and I don't like what I hear, but I'm not going to... I think it's something that everybody should be concerned about.
Okay.
Well, and some of them are going back to their faith that they've always had until they came here. So you have to remember that, too.
Gary?
You know, I one of the biggest concerns that I have, and we all can look at this and see it's not working. And when you look at just today, we've got an annual meeting, which is at the house of our church, and we've got like 24 people here. And how many of us are going to be on this earth 15, 20 years from now that are in this room?
Okay. Next year.
and so, you know, the big concern, my son was the youngest person in church this morning. And where are these young people that are the up-and-coming members of our church? They won't come. They won't help. It's the same people that serve on the boards. It's the same people that show up to do the work projects on Saturdays. And how can we get the people that we have to step up and be part? That's a real concern for me.
And that would be probably the answer to a lot of questions if we could get that figured out. With both getting things accomplished at the church and with our finances.
Are the people that aren't coming, are they being visited? Are they being at least recognized that, hey, you are a member of the church, we're concerned about you. Are you ill? Is there something we can do? I don't know, I just feel two Sundays this month, we went to a church in Cheyenne, And it is the size, about the size of Meadowlark School. It is filled every Saturday night. It's filled at 9 o'clock and it's filled at 11 o'clock. And you come out of there and you have such a warm feeling. And you know you've been to church, you know. And the minister comes out in blue jeans and a plaid flannel shirt and a vest. And he just stands in front of the congregation and talks to you like he's talking to you personally, or he's talking to him personally. And the kids just are mesmerized with him. Like on Christmas Eve, he had a sermon about what if. What if Jesus wasn't born? Now that gets young people to think, what would happen? You know, and it just, I don't know, there's just something missing, and I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I think these are things that the council could bring to discussion. If there's visitations, that's something that definitely merits discussion, finding out why people are leaving. I'm going to bring us back to the budget at the moment, but that is something. I'm sorry, what? Treasury report. Treasurer's report. Wait a minute. On the treasurer's report.
On the treasurer's report, again, we all recognize we have a shortage, but because we have a shortage, please don't think it's the treasurer's fault.
Thank you, Gary. That was
the treasurer has a thankless job. It's a lot of work. And
yes.
I really appreciate what Leslie's done and what Eileen did before. There, we don't want to shoot the messenger.
No. We're very blessed to have Leslie step in and what Alita has done.
I do have a suggestion. I'm just going to be a chattermouth today. I'm sorry. But on a couple of occasions, I asked what the finance situation was of the church. I mean, I went to a couple of different council meetings. And I was told, don't be concerned, we'll handle it. And I think that it should be in every newsletter how much money is taken in, how much money is spent, and how much in the red we are. If we wouldn't have let it get so far out of hand, maybe we could have handled it.
This has been happening for years.
I know, but it's never been in the newsletter.
It has in the past. Not necessarily.
When I was secretary, we put it in income, whatever, in the balance.
Not this year, necessarily.
But it's really gotten out of hand now, and maybe it would have not gotten so bad.
Well,
we're just lucky we've got the money from the house that a lot of people didn't want.
Well,
it's been a long time.
We are fortunate.
It's been a very long time. Back when we were in dire straits until Nels came back and he died and left us without that trust, both for expenses and for that long-term trust. And I tell you what, things were mighty tough then. And if it wasn't for that one, we were nip and tuck. And it's not the first time. Now, I guess I'll address both my concerns right now. I do know for a couple, three of those people, families, whatever, I don't want to get into personalities, but I do know for a fact that they were against having a female minister. Okay? That's their choice. That's nobody's judgment other than their own. And what they feel comfortable with. I can't judge someone else for their beliefs, and they shouldn't judge me.
That's right.
And that's one reason. If you wanted reasons, there you go. You've got a reason.
Scott.
Okay. I guess in the purpose of moving the meeting along, I go ahead make a motion to accept the treasurer's report as presented, and then we can discuss some of the other issues later, places where appropriate.
Got a motion and a second. Scott and Gary, all in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Okay. All right, next is questions and comments on reports to the annual report. Are there any other reports that you've got questions, concerns with? Okay, got a motion on the floor.
Can I just make a comment?
Yes.
I think everybody should look at all those reports and just be amazed at how much our very small congregation gets done and how much we do to help our community and the world around us.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because as I was reading through it, I was just, there's so much that you don't know what's going on in the church, and I was just amazed at everything that's been done. Thank you, Sherry.
I was a treasurer 43 years ago, and we were going through a difficult time then, but we all just stuck together because church is important.
It is.
Don's brother died yesterday, kind of an emotional state, but we just can't give up because this is our church. We're in your God's church. And that's what we're here for. To honor God.
Thank you, Mom.
That goes back a long ways. As you know, some of you probably don't know that I am the oldest member in this congregation, not age-wise, but I was baptized here. Okay. I was treasurer. I've been about every office there is on the council. We were back in the 70s. We had a minister. His wife worked at the hospital. He didn't receive a salary for 3 months because we could not pay it. And we had about three families come forward finally, and we were able to pay his back pay. Now, this is history of this church. I mean, we've had the ups and downs. You won't believe it. But we've always come out of it. And I think we can come out of it again. But we're going to have to curtail some of our spendings and use a little judgment on things.
Those are good points, Carl. And we'll have to look at that when we are looking at the budget for 2017. And we still have a motion on the floor to accept the other reports as presented. And seconds. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Old business. Discussion of the future. Lewis, I'm trying to think where to go with this one. It ties in so closely with everything else that we're talking about in our 2017 budget and the ministry review.
Well, I had a comment, but maybe I'll start. I just said we've lost members by death, by transfer, by moving, you know, over the last years. And after reading the statistical report, unfortunately, we haven't gotten anybody to fill in that. And if we look at the demographics of our congregation, at one of the conferences I went to, they called us gray hairs. But, you know, the congregations are, it's an older congregation, which you have to look at the demographics when you do your budgeting. And also, if you look in the last Lutheran magazine, we're not unique from other congregations. There's a lot of small congregations that are having trouble with their attendance. You know, some have 30, some. It was a really good article. Yeah. If you haven't read it, you should read it. But after I looked at the statistical report, I looked at the budget, I looked is pretty blunt, but with a $75,750 package for a full-time pastor, it seems unsustainable for the few members and the demographics of our congregation right now. So maybe this is something we can look at or think about, and that was the comment I had to make on that.
Scott?
And Jim, I guess I was going through some past annual reports I happen to have, and looking back for 5 years, in the past 5 years, our average general fund income is $86,985. This year we were $700 below that. We're hitting average, and we go up and down a little bit, but our average stays around the high 80s, low 90s. But then looking back for the past 4 years, when we've had a full-time minister, our average expenditures are running right around $100,000. And that is the problem. I don't know what the solution is, if there's a way we could help share a minister with another congregation or in this area or in town. I know the Congregational Church had a point where they had a part-time pastor. Now they have Reverend Miller there because they can't afford a full-time pastor either. And I don't know. I don't know how to fix it, but I think that's something we're going to have to be seriously looking at into the future. How can we sustain ourselves until such a time that we can gain a membership to afford a full-time pastor? I remember years ago, I think it was late 80s or something, we finally got off of synodical support. We were subsidized by the Rocky Mountain Synod for years and years because we weren't able to afford it on our own. They provide us some financial support. And that, maybe there's something to do there. I think this year we're going to just have to take a long, hard look and see where we can go. If our current rates of income and expenses continue, the extra money we have in reserves will not be enough to get us through the year if we don't touch that money in the Mission Investment Fund. And that's just the cold, hard, blunt facts. It's not something that's happened in a year. It's not something that just happened in the last couple of years. Going back 5 years, it's just the average. It's working. And a lot of it, the young members in church, a lot of that is, it is a slightly different time and place now in the world out there. And more people are going away from the heavy liturgical churches like we are. And that's just something we have to find something to offer everybody. I can identify things, but I have no idea how to fix it. And that's where we need maybe a committee or somebody to sit down, long, hard look, and let's come up with alternatives, come up with options, see what we can do, how we can make this work and move into the future.
Well, I think there's a lot of Lutheran churches in the same position, but if you were to look around town, I think we have a lot of other congregational churches in our own community that are probably facing a lot of the same issues we are. You know, their membership is dwindling, and they're not replacing, and their budgets are suffering, and some of them are not able to afford full-time pastors. And so I think it's a very common problem right here in Buffalo.
It is, and I agree, Scott, that is something we need to look real hard at.
Jim?
Yes.
Of this $1,000 person that was mentioned in that letter that we received, whose idea was that? Was it the council, or was it the synod, or?
It stems from the synod, and that is something we'll be getting to.
Okay.
Before the budget, we'll talk about that before we discuss the 2017 budget.
Okay. Because I'm real interested in that. Why and where?
Whatever. Did you read that article?
I read
good,
the letter.
Good.
But I didn't realize or didn't know where it was coming from or the reason for it and if this is the person's job or what.
Okay.
No.
I don't know if I can answer all your questions, but between the council, hopefully we can, and we will get to that shortly. I'm not trying to target you, Lois, but we Is there anything else in particular that we should discuss on that at the moment?
Well, I think some of it's come out with in different places, but I just think it's important for input from the congregation to know how we're feeling, and, you know, not just...
I know. I agree. I agree. Fred?
I can't remember the exact year when we put the addition on. We're a little different situation than we were the last time that we were really hurting, because we were expanding, growing. We put the addition on. So now our costs, insurance, everything, that's partly making it worse because we've got that bigger building, the heat, utilities, everything. And so we're maybe in a little tougher position than we were that last time. I don't know the answer to it. But as far as people moving away and dying, well, that's going to be consistent. And so the only way, one thing you can do is you've got to always be putting new members in, younger members, because it's just a natural process. People are going to keep losing on the one end.
I know. So, and I have been impressed with how I've seen some of the growing members of the congregation here, new members coming in, but I know we need to do a lot better.
Is the pastor salary something we have no control
over? We have control over it. We chose not to... recommend any raises this year. We did not consider any cuts. It is the congregation's input.
I just don't think we can do like the federal governments do, continue to spend more than we bring in. And we don't have a limit in a spot like this.
Well, you know, our budget is fairly well fixed. You know, it's basically made up of pastor's salary. It's made up of an eating bill. You know, there's not a lot of other stuff in there. It's kind of gotten down to the point where
they're necessities.
We need to raise the income side somehow, and that's been the biggest challenge.
It has, Scott.
And I guess back to when I was on the call committee, the pastor's salary and benefit package is, there's guidelines from the Rocky Mountain Synod that we are expected to pay so much of a full-time pastor and expected to do benefits. And it's basically church-wide. They have guidelines, and we are following those guidelines. So we have a little bit of say, but we don't have full say. And if we do anything, I believe we have to still go through the Senate and get their approval, and that might be one reason for the Senate review or something, because we can't do much without their approval, and that's because we're still under their auspices as it goes. But yeah, our budget, we were right in line, I think, with what the Senate recommended. That's we couldn't go much less to meet the minimums that Senate had required us at the time we called the pastor.
We didn't really know what a lot of the things that Senate said until we started the calling, and it was kind of a shock right off the bat. 5-week vacation, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and you always think, gee, when you start a job, you start with 1-week vacation, it's, you know, the things that they've got set up for us that we didn't realize that we had to go by were kind of, like I said, a shock.
And those are guidelines that we've looked at when we've proposed raises in the past or chose not to this year. Carol.
I've got one question I'd like to answer. It doesn't really pertain to what we're talking about, but what is this continued education deal? How come we have to suffer losing a pastor over continued education, which is supposedly on her part?
I believe that that's one of those items, I'm not certain, that's covered under what the Synod recommends for calling a pastor and their welfare.
Do they pay our pastor's salary for the Sundays they're gone, or is that considered vacation?
It's not considered vacation. It is considered continuing education, and no, I don't believe they pay the Sundays the pastor's gone. We may call in someone from out of the congregation, or as you know, we've had some services where it's lay-led.
So is there a regulation
on
how many time is used away from the congregation for continuing education? I guess I don't know if I say that.
I don't know if it's a regulation. Pastor, I'm assuming that that's the recommendation. Is that correct?
That's part of the package. 2 weeks of continuing. 2 weeks.
So then that ends the continuing education for this year. But she's had her 2 years, right?
Yeah, and some of it was left over.
Because the reason I brought that up, I've got one individual, possibly several, but very concerned about why we have to go without a pastor while she's on continuing education. That was my reason for answering.
Okay.
I have the same problem because Dan and I have devotions every morning, and to come to church to have another devotional session and not really be fed with a sermon, I think we're being cheated. Because the devotions that we get here in this section is the same one that we do at home at our breakfast table. So it seems wrong. We have two retired pastors that come to our church, that belong in our church, and I think if they were asked, don't you think that they would fill in as pulpit supply? I mean, we wouldn't have to pay mileage.
I know one that cannot figure out why they haven't asked to fill in, because he said, because I've done something that wasn't right, and no one wants to have me and, you know, pastor anymore, or, you know, do something, and I have no idea. Or, you know, when my husband was teaching school in Minnesota, he had to get, to get a raise, he had to get 3 credits every summer, or he would get a raise. And we were not paid for getting that. He had a work and pay for his own education, which is, I think that's a good idea. You know, we get too generous sometimes, paying for everything, and, you know, we keep thinking, oh, well, sooner or later everything will straighten out, but when the congregation keeps getting smaller and smaller, we're not getting that much more money coming in to be paying for all these things.
I think the comments on having pastors here, well, every Sunday or most Sundays, is a good discussion that probably is one that needs to be taken up with council. The finances are very pertinent to today's discussion. Very good. Very good points you're bringing up.
I wish more people would speak up, but I think that they're afraid that they're going to step on toes or whatever. And it gets to the point where you can't be concerned about that. You have to tell how you feel in your heart and how much the church really does mean to you and the problems that we're having, I think they need to be mended.
Scott.
Oh, I think the biggest thing we need to do in the next year is, like Pastor said, pray a lot and use God's help and guidance to guide us in the right way. And I think we've devolved quite a few areas where we need to work on, where we need to think about. But I'm of the mindset now, unless anybody has another burning desire, that we move on to new business so we can get the meeting done before 5 o'clock.
We're just hungry.
Okay. Grant will be our last.
Okay. One thought. There's a Lutheran congregation in Warwick, correct?
Yes.
I believe so.
Yes, there is.
And Gillette, right?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how large they are, if they have an assistant pastor at those places, but if some congregation, or even Casper was a Lutheran congregation that maybe had an assistant pastor, but they are having a little bit of problem financially. Eventually, if we checked with some of those, we could maybe have the assistant pastor come up here a couple times a month, or I don't know how often, and share the cost of that assistant pastor with another congregation. It's something that we could check on, and it may be a year or a year and a half down the line that maybe it would answer some of our problems.
Sure. Has one too.
Pastor.
Right.
So I want you to know that there are a lot of possibilities out there. And that's why I'm really calling us into prayer and discernment and having this ministry review. Because there is possibilities. I mean, there's other congregations in town that are in need of perhaps sharing a pastor. It's a possibility to be an internship site where there would be somebody here all the time, but this would be a great teaching parish. I mean, it's a very loving congregation. It would be a great place to raise up a new leader in ministry. There is trying to get a part-time call, which is going to be a little more challenging. First call pastor is cheaper, but there's not many of them out there. So we need time, really, to discern and to look into all the possibilities. And I think one of the most important things for us, which I'll probably be preaching to the choir here, is that it's us. It's me. We can't just bring in a savior. Jesus is our savior. The rest of us are in it together, right? And so we need to do this together. That's what my theme has been for the past 2 years, of really bringing us together to do the ministry. So when one of us notices somebody's gone, we go visit that person. When we notice something, we do it. So it's us, and it's not just me or the council or whatever. It's got to be all of us, and it's going to take all of us together. And that's, if I can address the ministry review right now, the ministry review is one of those things that it's an analysis of congregation, brings everybody together. It's everybody's voice. It's everybody stepping up together. It's us working together. And so I was the one that mentioned the ministry review during council as something that I think we should be doing. And it is people from the Senate office, and then other Wyomingites will join us. And the important thing about the ministry review is it's somebody from outside that can come in and tell us things that maybe we're blind to right now, things that we don't see. Because the fact of the matter is, Buffalo is 60% retired, I think is what I heard. Well, there's nothing wrong with having a congregation of retired folks, right? That's a vibrant, valuable, important ministry. I mean, there's retired folks that need a church home. Hello, we could be that church home. Do people know we're out even here? I mean, I run into Lutherans all the time that don't even know we're around. So, there's a lot of things going on. that we can do together. So I don't want it to be hopeless. I don't, you know, want you to think it's the end of the world or anything like that. There's things we can do. It'll take work, though, and it takes all of us working together. And so I'm just going to put that out there. We can figure it out. We can discern it. With God's help, we can get this discerned. Yeah.
When you talk about the ministry review, is that the amount of $2,500 or something that somebody has to pay?
They request $1,000. That it actually costs $2,500 to do a ministry review for all the people and everything to come and do it. But the Synod picks up the lion's share, and then they ask us to pick up the rest. And you'll notice it was a donation. They asked for a donation of $1,000 to help cover the costs.
What do these people do when they're not reviewing?
They're lay and pastors, and like the Wyoming people will be among pastors and lay folks, and then it will be Synod staff. It's actually ELCA staff. Judith is ELCA staff serving in the Rocky Mountain Synod. And then she usually brings a Rocky Mountain Synod person. Lois and I did one down in Riverton.
Didn't we do something like that before we called Pastor?
And you probably maybe had an intentional interim that did some work with you.
The Synod came up.
This is different. This would be different.
If Synod had any valuation in our congregation, they would do this for nothing.
Yeah, the problem is that it costs so much to do it, and they are picking up the majority of it.
Because we can't afford it.
Yep.
Well, can we really not afford it is the question, I think.
Well, we can do it a lot of it on our own.
We really can't. We really can't. There's so much that comes in.
Well, we better wait till we get to that.
It's really an important thing for us, and it's really good work, and I can't do it on my own, and I think we need some help.
I think we know our problem.
Yeah. Well, this helps us find our strengths, too, though. This isn't just looking for problems. This is looking for things to help us out.
For instance?
Scott had brought up a number of good points that could be looked at, and I think those are things that would actually be considered with this type of a review. They're going to be talking to people outside of just our congregation, in the community, other churches, and maybe they would make a suggestion that two churches join together. Maybe they would make a suggestion that we look for a lay pastor from a different community. I don't know, but they would definitely have better input than I would. I think it's a valuable resource.
These are professionals that, I mean, this is what they do.
We're getting so away from coming to church to worship. It's bureaucrat, government. Come in, A this. Come in for reviews. You know, away from coming to church, worship God, pray, you know, and...
This is very biblical-based, too, and faith... based. I mean, it's not some professional organization. It is the church. It is part of us. I mean, we're part of
the Rocky Mountain. Churches that are so structured. I talked to a friend who was here last Sunday.
And yet it's also growing in some places as well. You know, it's we can only be us. We can't be somebody else for somebody else. We have to own ourselves and bring up our gifts and be us. Because if we're just going to be a magnet to try and attract other people purely to get butts in the seats, people will see through that. We have to be authentic. We have to be who we are, who we're called to be. And that's why we need this discernment. And this is why we need some review. And we need actually some ownership. There's a lot of apathy in this congregation about, it seems to me, there's a lot of people that don't care whether we're here or not. And so we really need to figure out if we care if we're here or not. I mean, there's a lot of apathy. And granted, not here because you're all here, right? But there is a lot of apathy. So the good thing about the ministry review is it's going to be that little jolt to be like, are we in? Are we in or not? Because if we're in, then let's be in. Let's go for it. Or let's figure this out. Yeah.
I have a question, and it's probably something that you think is very, very non-important, but to me it's important, so I'm going to bring it up. Why do we have intention every Sunday? It means a lot to me to be able to be served the elements and kneeling at the altar so that I have that time with God on my own. Just going up and giving them bread in the and coming back and sitting down is not meaningful to me.
Well, I don't think that's a bad question.
It used to be, this is how we were confirmed, is going up and meeting with God personally and talking to Him personally. I don't know how to explain it. And now all at once the new way of life is just coming and getting a wafer and dipping it in wine and coming back and sitting down again. It doesn't do anything for me.
Originally, it was only once a month, the first Sunday of the month.
But anyhow, that's my one of my things that is changing, and it's supposed to be our church the way, you know, the way it was, and this is the way we're brought up, and we have to work together to make it our church. Well, it's our church. I don't know. I guess I'm getting off the subject, but that's...
And that's, yeah, it's a great theological conversation. Why do we do what we do in worship? And so we've been doing it during Lent. Sometimes, yeah. So I don't know. Theologically, the thing is kneeling is for repentance. And so we kneel during the confession. And then the giving, receiving of the elements is the forgiveness, and so we receive that standing up because we are forgiven. We've already been forgiven, and so that's kind of, it has become a theological thing to take it standing up as acceptance.
So this has changed since we were confirmed then?
Well, the church is always evolving, right? We're constantly reforming and rethinking and looking at things, and just because it doesn't mean either way is wrong. And so we can, you know, yeah. The next Lent was when we were going to go back to kneeling at the altar, but we can talk about that, about, you know.
And filling each cup at each time. Why can't we just hand the cup out?
Well, that's just because it's coming from the same cup. So again, this is symbolic of we're all coming from the same place. It's not an individual salvation, but a communal salvation. And that's a personal preference. So it's a theological, a way of living out. This is, we're all in it together. So for me, the one cup is, this is us. We are together. All of us being together and God bringing us together. But we're getting off onto other things now, too. Yeah, Gary.
We're kind of jumping all over the place on our agenda.
I'm not doing a very good job up here.
The last time we knew we were on old business, now we've been on ministry review. But while we're on ministry review, maybe we should consider a motion to vote on that and then get back to our agenda. That's my suggestion.
Okay, that sounds good. Does anybody want any more information on the ministry review? Paul.
Yes, I've seen a lot of reviews from consultants, and be it internal consultants or external consultants, some are good, some are not so good. And a lot of them really come in and want to dazzle you with all of their brilliance and give you a 50-page report that isn't worth a damn. And I guess my point is they better be worth it, you know? Because it's these people that come in and they speak the language, quote unquote, and they can dazzle you away. And it all sounds merry, merry, you know, quite contrary, but, you know, it doesn't have anything in it that is down to brass tacks. What can we do with it once we've got this review? That's the only thing that I will say against it, is that I've seen many consultants do some really good work and some not so good work. and they don't have any liability. They write the report, and they say, here you go. And they walk away.
Well, we have to remember that this is us. This is part of us. This is the Senate and the ELCA. So they are deeply invested in us.
Because
they are us. They're part of us.
Right. We are us. But I also realize that, by and large, Rocky Mountain Senate is an urban Senate.
Actually, not. Actually, it's slightly more rural. Because only the Front Range is urban. And then it still has all the rest of New Mexico, Utah, Eastern Colorado, Wyoming, and so really there's a big chunk of Rocky Mountain that's not. And the people that would come here would be Wyoming folks, so it would be people that are familiar with Wyoming. So it wouldn't be a Denver person coming and saying, you need to do it this way because this is how we do it in Denver.
So not somebody flying up from Denver saying...
Judith will come from the Senate and... Judith will come from the ELCA, and there will be another member of the Senate. But the rest will be Wyoming folks, or rural Colorado folks, or some other rural small town people. And I've been on one of these reviews, and it's deep listening. I mean, it's really listening to the congregation and listening to the community, listening to the town, and really helping us to see more clearly. I mean, I highly recommend it.
Let's move on.
You were going to say something, Scott? Or?
Dean?
I guess I looked at this online, the link, and they said that the donation is suggested $1,000, but it's negotiable with the Senate depending on our financial situation. And I guess they said the majority of the donation pays for travel and expenses for people to come visit us. And that's where maybe we could negotiate with them down to a lower amount and still be able to do this or whatever. But that's just what I gleaned from.
That was our hope, but it's an unknown, so I didn't want to present that.
Actually, we have negotiated it down to $500.
How long are they here?
They're here for an entire weekend, but there's work that happens beforehand. So there's surveys that go out, there's interviews, there's a lot of work that goes in before they get here.
Dean?
We've got a lot of people in the congregation that do a lot of things. They volunteer for council, whatever. Do we have people that are going to volunteer as a committee to do this instead of us going out to the Senate? I don't know. The council is not going to be doing this. Maybe the president will be on this committee. But this committee is you. Can we come up with a 6 to 9 committee members out of this church that want to work on this for a half a year or whatever it takes? Or are we going to take some of our money, give it to somebody who's done this before, has an idea of what is out there for us to look at, bring this report back to us and say, is there something here that you like? If there's something here that you don't like, that's fine. Is there something you would like to do? And then say, yes, we would like to do this. And the Senate says, we can help you. Because we already know what you're going through. Or can we get 6 to 9 right here to do this? I don't think it's going to be 6 to 9 for the people that are not sitting here. Or they'd already be sitting.
Well, as Grant said, we already know where some of the problems lie.
We do. We don't know all the answers.
That's true.
I'm going to take one more. It's Leslie, and then we'll vote.
I really think that we could benefit from outside view. I know that we have a handle on our situation, but somebody new comes in, they always see things that we're too close to. We may not like everything that they see. And they may see some real values that we've forgotten about because we take them for granted. But I think we could use the help. I move that we proceed with the ministry review process.
Okay, with that, let's take a vote. I'm going to go with a show of hands, so please keep them up.
Need a second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Need a second.
Oh.
Who's second?
Erlene. Thank you. We're going to vote by show of hands, and the proposal is that we have the ministry review team, and all in favor, please raise your hands and keep them up so we can get a good count.
My big question is, can we afford it?
Well, we can negotiate so we don't have to pay that much.
We can afford $500.
I think I got 15.
Again. I think I saw another hand come up.
I did.
Jim, that cost was $500,
which is
negotiated for you.
That's what I
got. That's what Pastor said.
Okay. I've got 15.
That's what I came up with. All opposed? Raise your hands. All right. Got 4. Okay. Motion passed. All right, new business, congregation council election. We need three members to replace Alita, Gary, and myself. Alita's is a 2-year term, and Gary and Jim are 3-year terms. And do we have any volunteers?
Well, I have a question. If Alita was on the council and also the treasurer, does the treasurer automatically be a member of the council?
No.
It used to be.
It used to be the case, but we've changed where the treasurer's been allowed to be off council. We did that with Skip, is when we started that.
We changed that 10, 15 years ago when I was on council.
Okay.
We didn't want to have to change the treasurer every other year if council members changed. We wanted a continuity with the same treasurer to move forward, so... The treasurer can or cannot be a member of the council, but if they are not a member of the council, they are not a voting member either. They only do the treasurer duties if they're not on the council.
When I was on the council, I started out 1 year taking over someone else's treasurer's job because he left of town, and then I was voted in. We do it for 5 years after that. So I was a treasurer for 6 years altogether.
Okay.
So it used to be a 5-year appointing job.
Okay. Right now, we need some council volunteers. I'm going to start passing out.
And Chuck did say he would serve. So we've got one person.
Fantastic.
And I would just like you to really think, if you love St. Luke's and you really care about St. Luke's, this might be the year for you to be on council, because we really need some folks that are
vocal.
Vocal, yes, but care. That just really care and really want to see St. Luke's be around. it's not a private agenda, not I want my way, but really,
Jim,
what is God calling us to be, and how can we be the church God's calling us to be? So we are thankful that Chuck's willing, and it'd be nice to have a couple more folks on as well, because we keep drinking on
I'll
council
on for
as well.
Two years.
So Loretta's willing to take Ailita's 2 years. Scott?
I would be willing to serve, although I am busy with city council stuff too, so I may not be able to spend large amounts of time on the church council, but I am prepared with the church, and I will serve if necessary.
Well,
we've got Scott
or
Chuck.
They wouldn't be here.
And Loretta. Scott, Chuck, Loretta.
Yeah. Loretta, 2 years.
Chuck wants to be 3 years. And you have to write it through this.
I move we accept the volunteers by acclamation. I second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried. And if you would now write your votes on paper.
Who did the second?
We've got Loretta for 2 years, Scott for
three.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't volunteer.
Oh. I'm sorry.
You second the motion.
Oh,
I approved by acclamation. You seconded.
Didn't you raise your Kleenex as a motion?
Carol did.
So we just write those three names and that's it, right?
Yes.
You did
yes.
Do it by acclamation?
We need paper ballots to have back the
okay.
I thought it was.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Whatever. And then it's decided who's got one term. And does anybody have one term?
And
no.
Three.
Three.
Yes.
Well, we have 2 3-years, and Loretta requested the
Loretta's
two.
So Loretta's two.
We'll go with Loretta as the 2-year, and then Scott and Chuck as
the.
I mean,
you guys in the council decide.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're voting. You're voting on these three.
We have to write them all down because they're all
Loretta and Scott.
Just three, why do we have to?
It has to be a written
And then the next item is we also need to vote for Synod representatives for 2016 for the Synod Convention. 2017. A minor. I'm gonna. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And now Alita has volunteered, and if there are any other, if there are any other volunteers, please state, let us know.
Just 5th, 6th, and 7th in Colorado Springs.
Do we need two, or will one be?
We definitely need one. Two would be nice. If we don't have two, we need at least an alternative in case Alita cannot make it. We need bare minimum of one.
We have two voting delegates. Is that if we get two?
We get two. We have to have at least one. And so they went last year. Yeah, they went to. Well, no. Yeah. They went to Salt Lake. So I highly recommend it. It's great to see how we are in the church. Kind of miss that out here.
This one is undiscernible. This one has one name. This one has two names.
Perfect.
It's
perfect.
Obvious. Very much majority has all three names.
Perfect. Thank you, Gary. And it's official. So
keep these or
yeah.
I don't. We'll get rid of them afterwards. Thank you.
And then do we need another list for the.
Meeting. We're gonna have people write in. Or is this good?
Oh, if anybody volunteers to alternate, we'll write it in.
Okay.
And so do we have any volunteers for an alternate or a second for the convention?
We can't write somebody else's name in.
I guess you can if they're willing to go.
We need to find out if they're willing to go.
Right, right.
That'd be the polite thing to do. All right, and if you would change it to 2017, it will be official then.
So can we move casting out of this ballot for Ida, and then we're going to put this in?
Can we do that?
Yes, I think we can.
Okay. All right, so there's a...
For sure, Ida, and hopefully somebody will come in.
Yeah. So do we need to make a motion on that or not? Okay, there's the motion, and Scott seconds the motion. So we've got the motion to send Alita to the Synod Convention in 2017. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Same sign.
And I'd like to make a follow-up motion to give the church council the authority by the congregation to vote in an alternate as needed. Since we're not, then we don't have to have another congregational meeting to vote for.
That's a good idea, Scott.
If the congregation today gives the council permission to vote in an alternate for the 2017 convention only, then we're covered.
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded that the council has the authority to vote in an alternate. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Same sign. Motion carried. Thank you, Scott. Okay. All right. We are at the 2017 financial budget explanation, discussion, and vote.
What page is it on?
22.
I don't see a need.
I have a question. Why do we pay for her continuing education if she's going to get a salary while she's gone? It's $750 is all this.
My trip to Turkey, Greece was a lot more than that, so it's just a small amount.
Do we usually pay, like if they go to a university, do we pay $750?
I don't know. I believe it was done in the past.
It's part of the package that just $750 is for to be used for continuing education.
And we have supported that for several years, always at that level.
Does anybody know why we went over on music?
We should cancel music.
Because we haven't gotten any new music unless it would have been for the bell.
Oh, 73%.
We have a whole room of music back there.
I don't know. And I don't know if there's anybody here that can answer.
I know that we do have to pay for royalties for copying these.
Right.
But Sherry?
And piano tuning, that kind of stuff, also confirmed.
Oh, okay. Just thought I'd ask.
No, it's a good question. Good question. Thank you, Sherry.
There are times when, like the community choir as an example, or a bell choir, they're required to get some music to fill in for whatever. So okay. We can't eliminate some music funds. Maybe okay. It needs to be lessons. But.
Yes, and just to clarify, most of the bell music purchases this last year were paid for out of dedicated funds, so did not come out of the general fund. So the only thing you're seeing in the music line item is the whatever the annual
tuning,
copying fee, copyright license, and then the piano tuning fees.
Is that fee for just new music that they get that year, or do they pay that every year for all the music we have?
It's $100 a year, and I cannot tell you what it covers.
Well,
it's copyright,
for,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a copyright.
We call
it. I know that, but do we have to pay it? The same song every year?
No, it's a blanket, right?
Yeah.
It's a blanket cover.
Yeah, license and
any kind of make a copy that you see in the bulletin or anything, that's where it comes from. That's why I can do that.
Well, if we can't afford our budget, what do you do?
Well, you make suggestions to... If we can't afford our budget, that's where we're having all this discussion and looking.
That, but what are we? How? I mean, if we don't have the money to pay the budget, how are we going to pass it?
Well, then you need to come up with a good budget. I mean that.
How about we make a motion on the budget, pending any input from the investigation that we're asking.
Then do we need another meeting to vote on the budget? I'm trying to figure out how this works.
Well, that would be a different budget if they would suggest something different. So I would imagine yes.
I think if you approve the budget, it's going to, the same thing is going to happen that's been happening the last number of years. We will be able to pay for the budget, but it would come from savings. And I think at that point, investigation, if you will, done with suggestions, we're going to have another meeting to see what we want, what we want to do differently going forward. But obviously, we can't do this forever. We're going to run out of savings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, do we dare go that route?
I think, irregardless, we're going to need another meeting.
We probably will.
We need
another
meeting.
But I think we're still a long ways away from that all being done. And so in the meantime, we do have to have an approved
budget
to pay the bills going forward.
Another thought on that. This balance of the reserve funds that's invested in the Nation Investment Fund, I would like to see that fund froze unless it becomes necessary, but it has to be through a congregational meeting for any of those funds to be used. Because if they're broken into, we're going to be broke in 3 years.
That's... What you're saying, Carl, but where is it on here? Where?
This mission fund.
Oh, the $32,705 that's invested. I recommend it. The council could not dig into that without congregational approval.
This is what we have in this thing right here.
Because if that's dug into, we're done.
What page are you on?
Is
21.
Yes, I know that.
Because she's getting equity in the house.
Personally say it's a totally different discussion, so I'm not going to say that, but that is something that I believe is part of the salary that she has, and where it goes gets balanced.
Oh, it comes from, it is determined by the amount that she gets as a salary.
Yeah.
I would second that motion that we keep the $32,000 off limits without the explicit approval from the congregation as a whole.
Okay, we've got a motion.
Discussion. Leslie could probably back me up on this. But the way I'm reading that, if we turn to page 21, in the middle of the page, house proceeds sales.
That's where we're at.
True. We don't, if we leave that $32,000 out, we only have the $85,34 down there at the lower right, plus whatever we have in the checking account, which is $300-$400. So by about mid-year, we'll have run out of money.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's correct. That's everybody understands that.
Yes.
Okay.
No, we don't want to touch that money. But if we touch that mission fund,
in 3 years, we'll have nothing.
That's
well,
true.
I'm going to close the doors. You won't be able to.
That's the reason why it was brought up.
Yeah.
We could wait another couple of years and then all of a sudden say, you know what? We're broke this year. We decided not to do that. So everybody here, and hopefully there have been more people here to understand this whole thing that's going on. But just to make that clear, that there'll be another meeting called, most likely very within a couple months, because we know where we're going to run out of money.
How much advance time do we need to give the congregation to have a congregation meeting?
I believe it's, I want to say 30 days.
I think so.
So we'll have to make sure that that's put on the church agenda prior to those funds disappearing.
Right. And then you'll have another chance to discuss where we're at.
Is there any further discussion? We've got
so
a motion.
Any input from this group that's going to come up and do research on this, that would have to be inputted prior to that meeting. Or should it, I think.
Yeah.
Pastor, do we know how long it would take?
It depends on their schedule, so I have to call them and get it scheduled.
I mean, if we're going to do this, it needs to happen for a quarter, probably.
Next month.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. Because it's not going to do us any good to have another meeting in 6 months, so we haven't gotten any answers from this.
Yeah.
Once that review is done, and the review is out there, anything that happens after that is the congregation. The council does nothing. It's all up to the congregation to make a decision based upon that review. Because it's your church. I'm part of it, but I'm on council.
All right, we have a motion and a second to freeze the Mission Investment Fund from expenditures approval by the council without meeting to get approval from the congregation. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the budget as presented pending review from our mission review from Synod with the following stipulations: that the council not be allowed to use the dedicated funds, including the Nellis Nielsen Fund, or the endowment fund to pay general expenses. Those funds are dedicated already. I think that's stated, but just make sure that those funds can't be used to pay the general expenses. So, again, anything besides what we have in the budget now for general funds would have to come before the congregation again in another meeting.
I think that the budget needs to be approved without pending on the mission review.
I guess the first motion I'll make is that we do not touch the dedicated fund, including Nels and the endowment fund, to pay general expenses for 2017.
We've already approved that.
Okay. Is that approved?
I think
Nielsen is already protected. Yeah, I think those are
checked, aren't they? Okay. Yeah, dedicated.
If that's the case, then okay.
I don't think the motion is needed.
Okay, then I move to approve the budget as presented, pending review after our mission review work, or whatever the thing says. Yeah. A ministry review.
And maybe I'm mistaken, but I'm thinking that we're either approving the budget as presented now or not.
Yeah.
Can we?
Yeah, approve it as presented.
Okay.
Knowing that we might have to have another congregational meeting down the road to modify it. We can do a budget amendment later after the minister review, but we have to approve it as is so we can. The council can only spend the money that's approved in the budget.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the budget as is. Do we have a second?
Second.
Who is that? Okay. Motion and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign?
No.
Motion carried.
Well, whatever I'm supposed to say, I'm saying that I'm not going to vote.
The next item is ratifying the constitutional changes. And are you going to talk on that?
So I'll just explain what the constitutional changes are. It has nothing to do with how we operate as a congregation here. It came from churchwide when they decided that the lay, all the four lay rostered leaders would be joined together. So the language has just been changed because those four rosters have been joined together into warden service. So there's now pastors are warden sacrament, and then the what used to be called diaconal ministers, deaconesses, associates in ministry. I think there's a fourth one, I can't remember. Those four are now known as warden service. So that's the changes that came down from the ELCA Churchwide Assembly this past year. It really doesn't impact anything. So that's what the changes are.
I move that we ratify the changes as presented.
I will second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
And the Constitution in entirety is in the back, correct?
Yes.
So everybody has a copy of the Constitution up to date as of today.
All right, it is time for door prizes. All right, can you tell me who number four is?
Yes, sir. Number four is Colleen Payne.
Congratulations, Colleen Payne. You have received a 500th anniversary Reformation ELCA pins. Enjoy those. All right, is there a number 25?
25.
21's the highest. Okay, number 17. Number 17.
Okay, 17 is Ann Gilbert.
Congratulations, Ann Gilbert. You've also won a commemorative set of pins.
My hat is a big
one. Number one. Who was number one?
Dean Knorr.
Dean, congratulations. You have also won a commemorative set of pins from the ELCA's 500th anniversary. All right, now we're getting into the big prizes. Get that high. I wonder if that's a 6 or a 9. We're going to go with 6. How about number 6?
Ginny Hancock. Did she just leave?
Oh, Ginny left. Well, all right. Well, Ginny gets a lovely, lovely little coffee mug. All right. All right, the number 9.
Tracy Johns.
Tracy, you get lovely God's Great Action t-shirt. The 500th anniversary. Have a water bottle with the Walk for Water on it. Enjoy. All right. Well, I think we get to eat now, right?
Yep.
And there's a ton of fluff downstairs, so you'll want to be sure to come and eat that. There's a ton of it. So let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your presence among us, for guiding us and leading us in our meeting. We ask that you would bless our ministry and be with us. Help us as we discern where you want us to be. And now we ask that you would bless our meal that we're sharing together. May it strengthen us to be your church in the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right.
I would have stayed on for a moment.